Welcome to Investor Resources with your hosts, Don Creech and Perry Sykes, who both realize that the market doesn't know what keeps you up at night. It doesn't know when you want to retire, and it doesn't know how old you are. The simple truth is, the market doesn't care. But if you care, then you've tuned in at the perfect time. You're listening to Investor Resources, bringing clarity to the confusing world of finance. Here are your hosts of Investor Resources, Don Creech and Perry Sykes.
Well, good afternoon. This is Don Creech.
And this is Perry Sykes. Welcome to the show, everyone.
So we are at the week before Christmas. It's not the night before, but that's coming very quickly. And we want to take just a couple of moments and reflect on Christmas itself. This is a secular program. It's all about business and markets. But we celebrate Christmas because it has special reason in our lives and in our culture. So I'm going to share a few words and thoughts from a devotional book, Strength for Today, by David Jeremiah, entitled Silent Night, from Luke 2, verses 8 and 9. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Silent night, holy night. All is calm and all is bright. Round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Think of the difference between Christmas Eve in 5 or 6 BC and Christmas Eve today. Then there were no horns honking, no sirens wailing, no neon lights glaring, no video streaming, no music blaring. It was a silent, holy night. It might have been noisier in Jerusalem, just 8 miles from Bethlehem, but in Bethlehem, all was calm and all became bright as the radiance of God's incarnation was made known to a young couple. The quietness and peace of that birth reflects the peace that God offers to those who trust in Him. We pray, and His peace guards our hearts and mind in Christ. Don't let the loudness of the Christmas season overwhelm your quiet times with God. Live and sleep during this season in heavenly peace. And we pray that as you celebrate Christmas this next Saturday or Friday night, as you do, that you remember why we have this holiday. We wish you all a very Merry Christmas with your family, friends, and loved ones. Well, part of Christmas is Santa Claus. And now he's not in the Bible.
I have to say, that's a switch there. Yeah. You just changed channels there. Okay.
I did. But Christmas is special. And even though we often celebrate with a lot of material stuff, the important part is why we do Christmas at all.
Sure.
But on Wall Street, it seems that Santa Claus has a COVID-created backlog and is apparently not going to have time to visit Wall and Broad this year. If he does, he's going to have to make an emergency landing here pretty soon. Because the hopes were high around Thanksgiving time on November 22nd, specifically when the market set its last all-time high of the year. It doesn't look like there's another one coming. It has been a struggle trying to get the market to move upward towards that level again. It's made some runs, and it made a run last week when Chairman Powell came out and announced what all of us, what virtually the market had already assumed was going to happen, that they're going to slow down supporting the markets even more than they began the prior month. We're going to double up on withdrawing money from the market. So it's all done. We're back to zero bond buying from the Fed by March. We're just a few months away, and we're going to withdraw, $1 trillion. I mean, it's more than that. I mean, it's tons of money that's coming out.
Yep.
So it's going to be over by then. And then without this bond buying activity and buying mortgages, supporting the mortgage market, it will be time to at least think about raising rates. And they've said they're going to raise rates now twice next year. But we're at zero. I mean, the Fed rate, official rate, is 0 to 0.25%.
And that's full on. That's a full on emergency, financial emergency interest rate. There's just, you know, no reason for it to be there still. And hopefully they'll go ahead and do it. They've talked about it before, but it hasn't happened yet.
Well, they, you know, what happens is the market gets a little jittery. And they say, "Oh, we can't do that.
That's right.
We can't do that. Our friends are going to complain.
Don't want anybody, you know, pointing their finger over here. So we're just going to do nothing again." And that's how it's been going recently. So hopefully that will Chairman Powell will go ahead and get this done and get us onto a more normal interest rate footing instead of this emergency status, which just is no longer needed.
So we have to turn around and say, well, just what should be normal? Because inflation came in at 6.8, and the Fed finally said, I guess it's not transitory. And maybe it's a little
Stop saying that, yeah.
It's a little more permanent. And so they stopped using the word, and I'm not going to read it here, but I wrote about it this week, that the sentence they use with regard to inflation still says, we think eventually this is going to go away. They just took the word transitory out and made a longer sentence to say the same thing, because they figured out that people thought transitory meant short term, where transitory, everything in life is transitory.
Correct. Time frame is different. And with the Fed completely undefined. So they never got around to saying what they thought transitory meant. But they want to make sure everyone knows that doesn't mean next year inflation goes away. They're not looking for that to happen.
So in the last couple of weeks, and looking at this issue as the news has unfolded, I ran across a chart on the Fed's expectation for transitory inflation to be over in about 5 years.
There we go.
Well, that's transitory. I mean, elections are transitory. Fortunately, presidential terms are transitory. You know, they come and go. I mean, they all wind down. So we have the removing $1.2 trillion of market support. Is it any wonder that maybe this last week, the Wednesday celebration was quickly unwound on Thursday and Friday?
People actually thought about it a little bit. And, you know, when you look at it, the Fed's making these moves both because inflation is picking up and because the economy is actually recovering, and we don't need to be on emergency footing anymore. So it's actually a good sign. The inflation sticking around is not a good sign. They have to address that too. And but getting both those things under control is important. And, you know, only time will tell is if the Fed's waited too long already and how much resistance they're going to get kind of normalizing those rates.
So this is live call-in radio, and we can take calls. Phone number is 800-465-8770. Paul's sitting on the board. Well, he's sitting at the board. He's not sitting on it, I'm pretty sure.
That only happens at the Christmas party. Yeah.
Okay. 800-465-8770. You want to talk about your portfolio, about something that was recommended to you in readjusting, rebalancing your portfolio, or you're missing something in your portfolio, really needs to be added, that was suggested by a friend or your friendly neighborhood financial advisor. We'll be glad to opine on it, most likely. Just give us a call, 800-465-8770, and remind you that the new year is just around the corner, and with it, on January 8th, we are not going to do the first Saturday, which is New Year's Day. We just didn't think very many people show up for our webinar on New Year's Day. We didn't want to compete with football.
Not on their list that day, that's correct.
So on January 8th, we are doing our monthly stock market update, taking a look at the month behind us and what it looks like is in front of us. Register for that at IRIRadio.com, IRIRadio.com. Well, the drawdown that we had this last week, actually since November 22nd when we had the high in the market, it's just like any other day in the market. There's some good days and some bad days. There are days you had aspirin and other days where you just don't think you need anything because everything's so good. We have a call from Art in Puyallup regarding bonds. That's what Paul's telling us. So, Art, you're Happy New Year and Merry Christmas first. Happy New Year beyond that. You're on the line with Don and Perry.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate your show, gentlemen. So you were talking about bonds, and I just got out of a meeting with my financial advisor, who's going to be my financial advisor. And he showed me a pyramid, a type of, you know, the bottom part of the pyramid's going to be in cash and bonds, and then the next level and the next level and the next level. And if the government is going to stop buying bonds, wouldn't it be foolish to have the majority of my retirement money in bonds? I don't understand that.
Well, I think you clearly understand it.
We believe you're correct there, Art. Yeah, you've got your finger on that exactly.
So what happens in the current marketplace, at least what's anticipated, because inflation is beyond government and the Fed's control, that the Fed policy change intends to raise interest for the bond market. And the marketplace itself, looking at inflation, will force higher interest rates because people who are getting hurt by inflation, if they're going to lend money, want a return that's somewhat compatible with the cost of living. So rates go up. And when rates go up, the value of money in bonds goes down. It's a teeter-totter. So if you are making a major commitment to bonds, then you are assuming rates will continue to go down over a significant period of time. That's the reason your advisor is making that recommendation, is because he's looking at historic data. And for nearly 40 years, interest rates have fallen. Paul Volcker changed the way the Fed managed money, and rates have been declining ever since. And when rates decline, bonds grow in value. And we're now approaching a turning point, which at least it looks like for the next several years, it's going to be the opposite. Bonds will not be safe haven. They will be very likely as risky as stocks.
Like junk bonds or something. That's what I was thinking.
Well, they're not all going to be junk, but an increasing amount.
Yeah, and I don't understand it, really. That's why I'm about ready to hire a financial advisor, simply because it beats me how to manage my money. I don't know how to do it, but it just didn't make sense for bonds. So would you suggest annuities instead of bonds?
Well, annuities allow the insurance company to bear market risk. And we don't know anything about your personal financial situations, but generally annuities are recommended because they generate commissions. And that means that the advisor who's selling them to you is a salesperson and not an advisor. So your concern with selecting an advisor should be, are you a fiduciary in this transaction? Which means, how do I pay you so you do what's right by me? Now, if you're not paying the person, writing that person a check, then the odds are you have a salesperson and not an advisor. So we haven't talked about this in some time, but you raise an interesting question. When we did seminars, I use this illustration frequently.
Hey, Don, so, we can carry on with that conversation after the break, but we're late to the break here. We should go ahead and take a break, and we can continue speaking with Art on the other side here.
So hang on, Art.
Yep.
Thank you.
Well, you betcha. We'll get back to you.
Thank you very much.
I'd like to remind everyone that in January, January 8th, we are having our next market update. You can register for that at IRIradio.com. Just go to IRIradio.com, head to the webinar page, give the registration link a click, and you'll be good to go. On the 8th, you'll be live online with us. You'll be able to see our charts, see what we're thinking about, and kick off the new year with some very good information about your portfolio. If you have a call for us this afternoon, give us a call at 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. We're out for a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Frosty the Snowman was a jolly, happy soul, with a corncob pipe and a button nose, and his eyes made out of coal.
Frosty, well, I'm not looking forward to the first snow. But I, you know, if we get it, then the grandkids, who will not be here, will have fun.
They will love
building.
It. Yeah,
they will love it. They have a lot of fun doing snowmen. Anyway, we're talking to Art, and Art, I want to give you an illustration that I used to use when we're doing webinars or seminars a lot. This is framing issue, and when you're dealing with financial salespeople, forget that they're financial salespeople. Pretend they're car salesmen. If you're buying a car and you walk on the car lot, you understand the rules of the game. The salesman's job is to convert your assets in your pocketbook into his commission. That's the fundamental structure of the financial services business. Whether it's a life insurance salesman, a real estate salesman, an annuity, now they all want you to get something out of it, but the job is convert your assets into their commission. And that happens with annuities too. A lot of times the commission is hidden. You don't know how much the car salesman makes. You don't know how much the life insurance agent makes. And you don't need to. What you need to understand is that their objectives are not the same as yours. Now, you can change that, but you can only do that by hiring somebody to work for you, which means you are either going to write them a check to pay for their time and consultation, or it's going to be deducted from your account as a management fee, and you will have a contract with them before any of that happens. And if that doesn't exist, you're dealing with a salesperson, and you should have your hand on your pocketbook all the time. In the car lot, when you drive out, you know what you got. In a real estate transaction, you get a title. You know what you got. In financial services, not so much. You hope it all works, but it's not the same. Buyer beware applies unless you have a contract between you and the advisor. You've had a chance to read it, and you've signed off on it, and you understand how much and how you are going to pay them. If you don't have that, you're dealing with a salesperson. You just need to keep your guard up and figure out. Maybe you need a second or third opinion.
Yes, sir. I'm getting close to signing that contract, and he did say he's a fiduciary. He works. I won't mention the company, but you certainly know it. So he works for a company, and I just didn't like the bottom part, 40% of my investments going into bonds and cash, whatever that means.
Art, let me interrupt you because we have Daniel on the line. So let me give you one other piece of direction.
Yes, sir.
Go to our website, IRIradio.com, and click on the video tab. And watch a couple of the videos because we try to explain this problem of bonds and stock and pricing and risk management in here. And if you're signing an advisory contract, that's good. You just need to be sure that whenever he recommends something, you ask, is this your fiduciary duty in this recommendation? And if he hesitates, then he has changed hats and he's doing something else. But we love having you call. And we love having you in the audience out there. We've got Daniel who's been on hold for almost your entire call. We've got to get to him. So Merry Christmas
Thanks,
to
Art.
You
Merry
and
Christmas.
Your family. Okay. We've got Daniel on the line. The airtime is yours, sir.
Hey, Yeah, I wanted to call. I'm 28 years old, and I'm trying to find a good long-term investment and a hedge against inflation. And I've done a lot of research and reading online about, you know, using crypto coins or cryptocurrency as a good asset to invest in. Wanted to get your guys' kind of professional thoughts from a experienced financial view on your thoughts on just cryptocurrencies in general, where that's heading, and if it's a good hedge against inflation.
Well, it's not. I mean, inflation is rising, and if it was a good inflation hedge, then it should be rising along with it, which also destroys the assumption that gold is an inflation hedge, because it's not doing that either. Gold periodically acts as an inflation hedge, but on the break, I just took a look that Grayscale Bitcoin Trust, GBTC, is an exchange-traded fund that replicates Bitcoin. It doesn't act, it owns it through derivatives. It's not a direct ownership, but it represents what's going on. And from the high to low, it's down 58% this year. So if it's an inflation hedge, how can it lose nearly 60%? And things have gotten better, because as of Friday, it's only down 42% since that would be peaked in February. So nobody knows. Nobody knows what's going to happen here. This is an unregulated, Wild West type of asset.
And it's important to remember, Daniel, that in all cryptocurrencies, and there's over 1,000 of them out there right now, so there's a lot of them out there, a few primary ones, but there's many, many more. And the primary driver in every one of them is just pure speculation. So you can't really connect it to an economic happening like inflation, say, in the U.S. economy. They're completely disconnected. They're not related in any way, because that cryptocurrency is just driven by speculation and, you know, who's hot right now. So that makes it a very difficult thing to hold on to. And if you happen to, you know, hit a good run, there's stories out there every month about somebody who's a millionaire now because of some cryptocurrency they bought. But that's because they don't write the articles about everybody else who lost everything they put in, which happens even more often. So it's, you need to be very careful there and not try to connect it to any general economy. That's kind of their game, not being connected to the economy. So it just never forget, it's a highly speculative area to put any money.
You know, there's also a lot of crooks creating cryptos to suck up investor money. That's not news. That's reality already. The governments around the world are beginning to step in and figure out how to regulate it, which will make it safer when that happens. At least you'll have some way to track down the bad guys. At least that's the theory.
And it's continuing to getting, you know, more stability. It's huge. I think the last number I saw was $3 trillion in cryptocurrencies now. So it's not like it's a small little niche play anymore, but it is so fragmented. And like you said, Don, it's so unregulated. It's really tough to have any real firm footing when you're in there. It really is just like going to Vegas, and you want to make sure any money you put in cryptocurrency is money you could safely lose without harming your own personal financial well-being.
And remember, Vegas was started by the mafia, and cryptos were in large part started to avoid government oversight. How do we get money around? How do we move money around and not let the government catch us and tax us and do whatever anyway? So the long-term inflation hedges are primarily two, real estate and quality stocks, both of which go through economic cycles of downturns. Real estate downturns are harder to deal with because of the lack of liquidity, at least in the stock market. If you own the index, the exchange traded fund for the S&P 500 would be SPY. That's 500 quality stocks, and the S&P board changes those stocks from time to time. And at least if you develop some processes to protect capital, you can avoid major downturns and reinvest back in when prices are cheaper and build wealth over time. But even if you don't, it's like the gentleman who called, I think last week or two, I want to say his name was Ben. he's in his 80s, and he's been just buying quality stocks that pay dividends for more than 20 years. And that, in fact, I was looking at a list of companies, quality companies that are paying dividends in the 5, 6% range, which beats the dickens out of the bank and bonds and has growth potential to them, both in terms of value and cash flow. That is a long-term inflation hedge. You're 28. Do you have a lot of time to accumulate that? Taking speculative risk where you could lose your money is not a way to protect yourself against the inflationary impact of your dollars longer term. And I would suggest you do the same thing. Go back and look at our, if I'm assuming you were listening to my recommendation to Art, listen to the videos, watch our videos. And the, there are three I would recommend. Go to our website, iriradio.com, watch the January video, and then watch the most recent two. And you'll get an education that should keep you from being frightened away from the market, because it has worked long term. Has periods of difficulty like any other asset. I mean, gold hasn't worked long term. Gold peaked in the summer of 11, and it's just barely managed to get back up to its June, July 11 value recently, and then collapsed again. Well, it didn't completely collapse, but it gave up territory. So it's not an inflation hedge. The issue that you're wanting is... Go ahead.
What I get worried about is, you know, we just had, 6% inflation in a month. We're going to say it's going for 5 years. Obviously, it's not going to be 6% every month. But at some point, people are going to look for places to make money. And when all other investment products aren't really turning profit, when inflation's outpacing, you're maybe even losing money in the market, that people are going to start looking for speculative assets, kind of like a Bitcoin. So that's kind of what I'm kind of where my head's at, is that it could be a lot of people jumping in based out of just fear and unable to make money.
Well, the 6.8 is not the monthly number. It is the month's reported number for the prior year. So that's not 6.8 per month. That's per month. That would be Argentina, Brazil, Mexico in a prior decade.
I thought was happening.
Turkey.
Anyway, Don, we've done it again. We're past our bottom of the hour break. Daniel, if you'd like to hang on, we'd certainly continue speaking with you after the break. But we do need to get out of here. And I'd like to remind everyone, if you're not getting our Week in Review, which is our weekly email newsletter, just send us an email. Send an email to help@iriradio.com. That's help@iriradio.com. Just put Week in Review in the subject line. It means your first and last name in the body of the email. And you will begin receiving that on Monday. It's a great little look at some of the financial issues that have been happening recently. And I'll let you know which of those are important and which of them can you probably safely ignore. Again, send that email to help@iriradio.com. You are listening to Investor Resources here on AM 770 KTTH. Stay with us. We will be right back.
Sleigh bells ring. Are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight, we're happy tonight, walking in the winter wonderland. Gone away is the bluebird.
Yeah, when the snow's on the ground and the Christmas lights are outside or shining on it and glistening, I mean, it's beautiful. There's no doubt about it, but I prefer to be inside.
That's fair.
Daniel hung up, but I have a final word for him that while he's looking for a speculative investment, we go back to Warren Buffett. His rule one is don't lose money. And his rule two is remember rule one. It's a lot more important, even at 28, to not lose your capital. Because once you lose it, it's really expensive to have to start over again. Even on small amounts of money at young ages, it's important to not lose the money. You got to have a defensive strategy, a process, a decision-making track to keep from losing your capital. I mean, you're going to have small drawdowns, because volatility is what allows markets to go up. It's just you have to have a limit on how far down you'll go to protect your capital.
And protecting capital is important. Yeah, at all ages. It doesn't matter if you're 28 or 108. You don't want to be losing money. Everyone knows that doesn't feel good to lose money. But when you're looking around, it's so easy to get drawn into things like cryptocurrency when you're looking around and so many people are making so much money. But that doesn't mean they're not undertaking incredible amounts of risk at the same time. And you've got to get the risk into your thought process there.
Well, for the most part, the professional traders are making the money and they're taking it away from the inexperienced. Money moves to strong hands. That's the way the system works. Anyway, with Daniel gone, that leaves us with an open phone line, 800-465-8770, 800-465-8770. Before the calls came in, those are two good calls.
You bet.
Before those calls came in, we were talking about the Fed. And one of the things that is of concern in the current marketplace among professional traders anyway is that the Fed made a mistake by not addressing inflation earlier. Are they now making a mistake by saying they are going to address it eventually?
And the problem is with inflation, if the Fed has made a mistake, if they are behind the curve, as it's said, in their raising of rates, what they tend to do is they're going to raise them a little too quick, and they can really, really stall the economy out. And there's no reason to do that if they're going to show some patience and take a look at, even if all the inflation is not going to go away, parts of it probably are. So all of it's not going to be permanent inflation that's never going to stop again. That's not the way inflation works. But they're going to have to show some restraint in raising those rates and not get in too big a hurry, or they can really, you know, induce a recession, which would cure the inflation problem, but it would take too many people down with it.
Well, that would really unwind the employment situation. So there's what we have said on this radio show for the last couple of years is the Fed's in a box. They've painted themselves into a corner, and it's kind of left I die, right I die. I mean, which way are we going to go? How do we get out of this corner? We got to wait for the paint to dry. And so if inflation continues to go to 9%, which would be a more realistic number right now, the producer price number came in just shy of 10% this last month.
Right.
That's an annual rate, not a monthly rate.
Not a monthly change, yeah.
It's just the monthly update. And the reason that inflation, the CPI, was only 6.8 was because the housing numbers are added over a five-quarter period. So the cost of housing, you know, buying a house, that's up 19% year over year. Rents on average across the country are up 8% year over year. Well, the Bureau of Labor Statistics looked at those and said, 3's good. Yeah, so we'll use 3.
We'll use 3. That sounds much better. Yeah.
So if they had used real numbers, current market numbers, instead of inflation below 7, it would have been just below 10. Now, that is a problem. And those numbers on housing are going to get incorporated over the next several quarters, which is going to put more pressure on the Fed. And pretty soon, the mistake may be, well, we were going to raise rates 0.25% and get back to 0.5. Oh, we may have to do what Bank of England did this week and raise them a full percentage point. And now what's going to happen in the market? That's really going to hurt the bond market. And then stocks, oh my goodness, we're going to have a week of panic trying to figure out what this means and what the Fed's going to do again.
Yeah, at least a week, maybe more, but there will be a strong reaction if that begins to take place.
So one of the risks is they don't do enough, and the other risk is they do too little, and inflation just continues to creep on. Now, the rate of inflation is probably going to slow. That's the right. I listened to the guy who's in charge of the Long Beach port, and he said he thinks by mid-year they will have pretty well systematized what they're doing to get caught up with all the container ships coming in. Now, he didn't say how railroads are going to handle all that additional tonnage, or how truckers who are being restricted from access to the port because they haven't all been vaccinated, and so they're not even showing up. How are they going to get truckers in when they won't let them in? Those problems are still there. And then we have the semiconductor problem. Semiconductors are part of the problem as far as vehicles manufacture, appliance manufacturing. Well, we finally got our new washer and dryer after months of waiting, and my wife is saying, they do what? I mean, they don't operate anything like the old ones. Of course, they've got semis, so they're new, they're sophisticated, and they are sophisticated. But you don't have those coming in. Intel's trying to build, Intel and Taiwan Semiconductor are both trying to build plants here in the United States, and the administration is taking the position that there is, and I don't remember the name of, I had a hard time pronouncing it anyway, there's a slurry that's necessary for the manufacture of semiconductors.
Right.
And the administration has decided that they're going to make it illegal to import it. Well, where is it made? It's made by U.S. companies with plants in China, and not in China, but in Taiwan and Japan. And the administration is not going to allow it to come into the United States. And Intel is saying, we can't build semiconductor chips if we don't have that slurry, and you're not going to let it in? I'm wondering, is there anybody in the administration that understands economics or production lines? I mean, you can't build what they want to solve if you don't bring it into the country.
It's a fair question, yeah. Doesn't make a lot of sense.
I still have hair. I could be pulling it out, and at times I want to. I really don't want to do that. But I look at some of the regulations that are going right now. It's just like we have housing prices that are escalating beyond the ability of young couples or young individuals to buy them. The prices are out of sight.
Yep.
So what does the administration do? They increase. They double the tariff on wood coming in from Canada, which is used to build houses. That's right. We have a pricing problem, an inflation problem. We need to double the cost of bringing in wood. That's going to help?
That's a head scratcher. It doesn't make any sense. You wonder what it is their target is. What's that? What outcome are they seeking? It doesn't seem to make any sense. We are up against our last break of the afternoon here. I'd like to remind everyone that Saturday, January 8th, is our next stock market update. Those come up once a month. We like to give everybody a look at what we're thinking, kind of what's going on out there, and what you can do about it. It's also a very good time to get a second opinion on anything in your portfolio. You can send us the tickers before the webinar, or just enter them when you get there, and we'd be happy to cover those with you. You can register for those by going to iriradio.com. That is iriradio.com. If you'd like to talk to us here this afternoon, have plenty of time to get you on the board, give us a call at 800-465-8770. It's 800-465-8770. Stay with us. We will be right back.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We wish you a lot of presents. We wish you a lot of presents. We wish you a lot of presents and a lot of good cheer.
Well, we certainly hope that we have a happy new year ahead of us. We get through Christmas this week and New Year's next week, and we get to start all over.
One more time around. Yep.
With 2022. Brings back some memories of New Year's in particularly the one at the Millennium. You know, that was really cool, watching New Year's celebrations around the world for 24 hours on television.
And wondering if the world was going to stop because of that.
That's right. That's right. It was Y2K. Disaster was right around the corner.
Everywhere.
Well, one of the other disasters that is right around the corner, but it's a slow corner, is demographics. Demographics are destiny. You have to have people. You have to have people to work. You have to have people to have children in order that you have people to work and to support you in your old age. Somebody to come by and say, hey, Grams and Gramps, are you guys okay?
How's it
going? Is there anything
we
need to do for you? I mean, you know, the lawn looks like it has been mowed in a while. I'll take care of it, Gramps. Don't worry about it. You know, without kids, that doesn't happen. But you found an article, and the same week, Perry, I found another article on demographics. I mean, the one you picked up talked about India, which has had an explosive population, has finally reached a point where the birth rate is below replacement rate. It's only 2 per woman, and you need 2.1. Without that, your population gradually unwinds, and that's not good. Now, what one of our concerns is that, well, in fact, as far as the country's concerned, our country's concerned, the H-1B visas, which brings in people with qualifications to work in high-demand jobs that generally people have an education.
Sure.
They can go to work, and the company gets these visas to employ people. That's different than coming across the border and say, hey, I need welfare. You know, that's a different situation. But generally, if you don't have a high enough birth rate, you have to have immigration come in to maintain the economy, or it's going to shrink. And years ago, I used to do a lot of demographic webinars or seminars, actually, and talk about, in fact, leading up to 08, said, we have a demographic problem. We are going to reach a point where there's enough baby boomers taking retirement that, and we don't have enough kids following them. We've got this big demographic. Oh, we're going to have an economic recession and stock market collapse. And it happened in 08 and 09. It happened not quite the way we expected, but it did. And now we're looking around the world and saying these things are happening. Not only that, they're happening in smaller countries where they're becoming better educated, better economically. And when that happens, the birth rate falls off.
And that's natural. Yeah, it's not like there's something going wrong. That's the natural progression of a country becoming more affluent, with a growing middle class, and all of a sudden we don't need 12 kids to keep the farm running anymore, and so that begins to reverse, and when it drops below replacement, that's when over time the population will begin to contract, and that changes the way the economy works wherever that happens. So it's not, you know, there's nothing wrong. It's just that's the natural progression of the demographic cycle, and it's hitting more and more countries at this point. And it's also speeding up. It's happening faster because everything that has to do with wealth and financial markets it's all speeding up.
It's really hurt Japan because they had a post-war baby boom, as we did in the United States, but they had material damage from the war, and so the government took a low birth policy in exchange for funding reindustrialization and rebuilding the country, which you understand the logic of that. China has, because of their fear of a massive population, which is massive anyway, they have had a one-child policy. And with that, because it was the boy who would be able to take care of parents in their old age, there was massive sex selection, because the normal female-male birth ratio, uncontrolled, is 105 boys to every 100 girls. Boys die faster. I mean, that's just, they get into trouble. They do dumb things, you know, they jump off cliffs and see if they can fly, whatever. But yeah, with the one-child policy in China, they've actually skewed that, and it's better than it was, but it's dipped to 119 boys in industrialized China. In rural China, it's 140 boys to every 100 girls. That's a problem, because there are millions of Chinese men who aren't going to marry a pretty girl or a girl they like. They aren't going to marry any girl. And when you have a whole bunch of adolescent, early 20s men full of testosterone with nobody to domesticate them, it's a social problem, which explains in large part why China has such a large military. We got to capture these guys and keep them in chains, keep them under control. And I used to joke, I'm not sure it's a joke anymore, is that a lot of those men out in rural China may just simply take over Siberia, because up in Russia, the men die early, typically from alcohol. They die very young. And there's a lot of single women up there. They may be a little long in the tooth, but they're women.
It's going to be a natural natural rebalancing going on up there.
China won't have to worry about fighting a war to get Siberia. I think they'll just kind of migrate up there. But I don't know, that's all speculation. We'll find out. Well, probably not in our lifetime, Perry. It's right. going to take some time. But we talk about speculation. One of the things that attracted a lot of attention this last year is Kathy Woods, manager of the ARK, A-R-K, fund family. She had the hottest fund of the year, gaining nearly 70% in 6 months. I'll take that, right?
That's a good thing, right?
Who wants to stand in? That's right. But just 9 months later, it was all gone.
All of it. All of it was gone. It's really an amazing, one of those amazing things to watch that happen. And if it, it was just a classic example of a huge run-up in value and then a huge increase in the amount of money coming into the fund. But most of the money that came in after the big run-up. And so it's just another one of those watching someone, you know, chasing returns on the short term and not paying attention to what's going on after they bought it. They're assuming it's going to happen again, and it just doesn't work that way.
It's kind of just a different way of looking at the same kind of thing that's been going on in the crypto universe. People see there was a big run up. Yep. I'll jump on it. They assume that what goes up never comes down. And in this case, most of the investors have lost a ton of money, as they did with the crypto stocks, and all but four of the stocks in the fund. And they're not junk stocks. I mean, no. You look at the names of them, but all but four have already fallen 20% or more. And
if you took the time to look, you would have known that before you just bought the story of, wow, they ran it up 70%. I want some of that. You would have seen that reality had changed beneath the surface, which is why it's always important. Follow the data, follow the money, look at what's going on behind a return number. And sometimes that can keep you out of trouble. It would have kept you out of this particular fund because of the huge turnaround of the stocks that are in it. They were really, really doing poorly. And you could tell there was no way it was going to be able to sustain that huge return that they had run up.
Well, in October, Zoom was briefly worth more money than Exxon Mobil.
Yeah, how about that? Yeah,
it traded at 124 times its sales. And then in November, when companies started saying, well, you're going to come back to the office, we don't need Zoom. Well, now Zoom is trading at 14 times earning. It's almost a 90% drop in the ratio. Yep. Peloton, you know, that was kind of a funny story. I mean, they were trading at 20 times sales this month. Earlier this month, today it's at 3x sales. Those are massive moves. They're built into that portfolio at ARK. And it's that kind of stuff that really requires some discipline because they were being driven on speculation. And that speculation is not a way to accumulate long-term wealth. It is a way to get an investment experience.
You get the A-ticket ride, but usually when that stops, you don't like where it ends. So it's not something you should seek out. But you should always, you know, look under the hood, make sure you know what's going on. And, you know, those funds, you can look, even in mutual funds, you can find out what's in there and how's it doing. Don't just look at the headline.
Yeah, what came to mind is it's kind of like being able to go into space with Jeff Bezos, and then when the ride is over, saying, "Oops, the parachute's not working."
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Well, the landing is going to be a little tougher than we expected, and that's what happens when you start speculating, whether it's in cryptos or in the market or in meme stocks.
There you go.
What's your investment process? How are you going to get out? How do you protect capital? And go to our website, iriradio.com. Look at the video tab and watch some of those videos. We'll give you an explanation of how to do that. This is the week of Christmas. We wish you all a very Merry Christmas with you and your family. Remember why we are celebrating. And in the week beyond, we'll be looking at New Year's. Plan on registering for January 8th at iriradio.com. God bless you, your family, and the United States of America. Have a great week.